We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in, Wednesday edition, Blue Sky Live here with you this morning. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. The NFL draft a day away. Caleb Williams expected to go number one overall. Discuss him a little bit. Interesting story in The Athletic about Mr. Williams. Mr. McCready, Mr. Siskey have a draft night show tomorrow night. Ole Miss playing Alabama at the same time in baseball. TJ McCants making his return to Oxford. Talk about that a little bit. The Rebels knock off North Alabama yesterday, 9-4. North Alabama 270 in the RPI coming into the day, 271 coming out of the day, and the Rebels moved up in RPI. So there's that happened. We'll mention that momentarily, and then look at some other things, including Derek Dooley, the champion of the little guy. He is heading up the group of five potential methodology, if you will, to a playoff or them forming their own league or doing whatever the hell the group of five is doing. Derek Dooley, former Tennessee coach involved in that. In a lot of ways, saw that and more coming up on the show today. Show brought to you every day by the blue skies around Mississippi. No matter where you are, there's a blue sky close by, from all the way from the epicenter down in Macomb to I-55 North Mississippi. A lot of stations in North Mississippi, and including the Oxford Exxon here in Oxford. Sweet Daddy's locations all over the state. Get your ribs, get your pulled pork, get your dessert, side items, and more. You get your clean convenience stores. Fill up on gas. Fountain drinks, lunch specials, and much more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. And he'll get back in touch with you within 15 minutes, I should say, in business hours with a quote. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guest join on the Campbell Clinic Hotline. I'll tell you about the McCready and Siskey draft show, hand raised guys guest in a moment. They'll all join on the Campbell Clinic Hotline. 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102 in Oxford is where they are located closest to here. Just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow, they provide full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have a big draft show tomorrow night. We'll live stream while the draft's going on. Watch some probably NBA playoffs. Maybe we'll turn on the Ole Miss Alabama game. David Beatty, who's now the wide receivers coach at FAU, will join. ULM coach Bryant Vincent will join. Kane Womack, now the defensive coordinator at Alabama, will join. And Tulane head coach John Summerall will join as well. So a lot of
kind of superstore, if you will. Super show.
A lot of guests on the show will be with you for a long, probably too long.
Too long, huh?
Well, last year, at the end, it felt like it was a little too long.
Oh, really?
Well, Tyler had probably crossed his limit. He'd crossed the Rubicon.
He had had
one too many of his seltzers or Bud Lights, whatever it was that he was drinking.
Had a couple?
He had a few.
Had a couple? Okay.
But it was fun. We'll do the whole draft. We'll do the whole first round. We'll stay with you. A lot of guests. So it'll be interesting. Technologically, I always get nervous about trying to pull that off. So we'll see how it goes.
Because of just the number of people or what?
Nah, just because sometimes it just different connections don't work.
It's a little clunky.
It's a lot clunky.
As we learned about 10 minutes ago, it's a little clunky, a little cross-wired here or there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Just cliff notes here. Ole Miss knocks off North Alabama yesterday, 9-4 in the annual Kids Day game. We were through another one of those. A child did get hit yesterday, but it appeared to be relatively minor. It was kind of one of those looping line drives, not a shot down the line. They came, got her out of the area, no blood or anything. So hopefully she's good. But otherwise, fun, safe day. I think I was told somewhere around 6,500 kids in attendance yesterday. Oh, wow. Something like that. I think that's the number. I feel for the teachers who were trying to keep up with your kids and keep them in order and sat for the 2 hours-ish that they are there before they start getting on the buses and moving and whatnot.
When they start leaving, by the fifth inning, sixth inning?
Even earlier than that for some of them, because, I mean, some of them are coming in from, I mean, it's not just local. I mean, it's local, but you know what I mean? It's not Oxford. So, yeah, no, they sometimes they're bottom third, top fourth, already starting to G-haul on out of there a little bit.
Get back.
Yeah, and then you got some at the end that are still hanging out when the game's over, and it's like, wow, you got a full day. I mean, you're just sort of chilling at that point. Andrew Fisher, Luke Hill hit home runs. Grayson Saunier was fine after not pitching for a while because he had two straight rainouts on his starts in the midweek and then through yesterday against the Lions, who are really bad at baseball. They are not good at all. Ole Miss led 8-1 in like the fifth inning and then won 8-4 or 9-4, sorry, in the finale there. And then metrically, it is a little odd. Ole Miss went from 24-22 yesterday in the RPI. Because, look, the RPI is not a sophisticated ranking system. It is your opponent's record and then your opponent's opponent's record. It's trying to identify strength of schedule is all it's doing. Mm-hmm. It, frankly, is the worst metric of any of those type of analytics formulas, but the committee still uses it primarily, so here we are. When I give D1 Baseball a lot of credit. They are trying to formulate a new rankings that hopefully, eventually, the committee takes and adjusts or uses, and it makes a lot of sense. I like it a lot. It gives kind of a percentage to every game. It allows you to not automatically fall just because you play a bad team, even if you win. It has some things about it that I really, really like, but we're not close to it factoring into the formula for the actual committee.
It's set up for them. Just get to 13 wins.
It is.
It's set up. Go 7-5 down the stretch. You're going
to
get
and then either win a game in Hoover or win the Governor's Cup. I need to check the spreadsheet. I didn't do it this morning. I'm a dork. I have a spreadsheet. I do not believe a 13 win SEC regular season team has ever gotten into the tournament without winning a midweek conference game that doesn't count in quotes or the first game in the SEC tournament.
Okay,
so I think you need one more something. And then South Carolina in 2017 is a weird outlier because, remember, guys, these aren't in vacuums. They're bubbles and other teams. There's only so many spots available every year, depending on whatever. The 2017 South Carolina team is really strange because they went 13-17, had an RPI of 30, won three games in Hoover, and still got left out. So that they are there is something that's sort of apples to apples there that did not work from that standpoint. And yes, the committee just simply uses it when they want to, but that's kind of where you are for that, the way that works. Yes, Georgia beat Clemson 4-3 on a walk-off wild pitch in the 15th inning last night. That is how that ended. Was, you know, at some point they're going, God, we have conference games this weekend. We're in the 15th inning. Can someone win? I don't even really care who it is. Just we can win, we can lose. Can we end this right now?
For Georgia, they could be pretty bubbly. Clemson, a win over Clemson could end up helping them.
Yeah. Clemson's got some injuries. They got to kind of hold it together down the stretch a little bit. They're banged up. But, yeah, good game last night. I actually turned it on and watched I don't know, 4 or 5 innings just because I'm weird and there was nothing else really going on. I've become, because of Ole Miss last week and even before that to an extent, I've become sort of fascinated on what situations people pitch to Condon and which situations they don't. So I was sort of watching that for, I guess I saw 3 of his at-bats last night while they were doing that. So, yeah, anyway, that's what happened. But that's part of what, back to the original conversation, tying that in, that's part of what happened was Georgia beat Clemson. That helped Georgia's RPI, helped Ole Miss's RPI. Again, it's more about your opponents than even what you do on a day-to-day level. Although typically when you play a team as bad as North Alabama, that's a bomb that does bang you up a little bit.
And
I'd
look up the rest of the SEC, but the site is so bad. Let's see if it's even navigable.
Navigable? What are you trying to look up?
Other SEC teams.
In RPI?
No, just what they did last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that, and I'll look up RPI. Go ahead.
It's brutal. This is just, it's awful how bad.
To be what they are, we really need to get on this a little bit, don't we? Like, this is not good.
I mean, it's really pathetic. All right, Ole Miss beats North Alabama. We talked about it. Auburn beat Florida A&M.
Okay.
11-1.
Okay.
Tennessee beat Western Carolina 12-4.
Okay.
Florida beat Stetson 13-3. Texas A&M beat Houston 13-11.
Okay.
Missouri beat Missouri State 10-6.
That's actually a good win for Missouri.
Mississippi State went to Memphis and won 6-4.
They did.
We talked about Clemson and Georgia. Georgia winning 4-3 in the 15th inning. Arkansas played UA Pine Bluff. Did they have the score right? UA Pine Bluff beat Arkansas 11-1. Is that correct?
If so, that would really shock me. Is that true?
It doesn't appear to be true. They've got the score
back. Oh, Arkansas won 11-1.
They've got it backwards. Yeah, yes, they've got because it said that. I immediately noticed that. Yeah, they've got the players wrong. And unless Ben McLaughlin got into the transfer portal and went to UAPB, okay, which would be news. I mean, hey, look, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before guys change.
Pine Bluff, by the way, 303 in the RPI.
Yeah, so 11-1, Arkansas beats UA Pine Bluff, and Alabama beat Samford 14-5. Vanderbilt beat UT Martin 5-4. The Doors now have 30 wins. And then LSU beat Nichols State 9-0. LSU now 26-16 overall.
So your point with standing here is the SEC went undefeated last night.
Yeah.
So that,
I mean,
that held it together.
I know this is shocking, but the SEC has a lot of good teams. Vanderbilt's got 30 wins. Alabama has 26 wins. Arkansas has 35 wins now. They're 35-6. Georgia is now 30-10. Mississippi State's 27-14. Even Missouri's closing in on 20 wins. They're 19-23. Texas A&M's 36-5. They're ranked number one in the country. Florida's records were wild. 21-19.
I know.
Tennessee's at 34 wins. They're in great shape for a national seed. Auburn's at 20-20. They're not. Ole Miss 22-18. So, yeah, I mean, the league's really good. I mean, so the computer numbers are going to like league teams, and so it's going to be very difficult for you just to crater from an RPI standpoint. So if you're Ole Miss, it's literally about just getting enough SEC wins to give them an excuse to put you in the tournament.
They also were helped out the non-con a little bit. Hawaii all the way up to 123. Iowa at 102. They're bordering on top 100. And then High Point at 143. So even those teams that were sort of between that 155 and 200 mark, they've actually increased and gotten better the last week or so from a metric standpoint. You mentioned RPIs there inside the SEC. Ole Miss's remaining opponents. Alabama is, I have it here, 1 second. RPI.
Probably in the 30s.
17.
Oh, holy cow.
A&M 1.
Mm-hmm.
Who else they play? LSU 36.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn 42.
Wow.
1-17, 36, 42 left. You can't fall in RPI much because you play good teams.
Alabama twice. You got to beat Auburn twice.
And you got to beat LSU.
And you got to go beat LSU.
And you got to beat A&M once.
Yeah.
That's 7. That's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
If you lose a series, it gets really complicated fast with the math.
If you lose a series this weekend to Alabama, it's just going to be really hard.
You got to go to Auburn and sweep. Because you're not going to bat. I mean, I get 2 years ago, you're probably not going to Baton Rouge and sweeping.
You can't count on it.
And you can't count on a series win against Texas A&M.
No.
They are very good.
They're very good.
So.
It'd be like counting on, hey, we're going to go to Kentucky and sweep. We're going to go to Arkansas and sweep. Yeah. No, you're not. I mean, no, you're not. From a likelihood standpoint, no, you're not. It's more likely you'll get swept on the road than you sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Just numbers. So you need to win this weekend. Frankly, it's time to get hot. If you're going to make something happen, you're going to get into the tournament comfortably, it's time to start winning.
Yeah, I'm sure there is one, but I do not know the Corey Kluber. Okay, as we say, I don't know the best player to come out of Stetson. Sorry, I'm not up on my Hatters baseball.
Corey Kluber had a hell of a career.
Is he done?
He's
not still live.
I think he's still playing. I think he's hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like most, like half of Major League Baseball pitchers are hurt right now.
I mean, yeah,
yeah,
that's where we are.
Kyle Hendricks has a. back strain.
Not a back strain?
I mean, I
you don't believe that?
I think they're in a weird spot with him. He means so much to the franchise. He's such a good guy. He's the last remaining member of the World Series team. And right now he's not good. He's getting shelled. So you don't want to demote him, obviously. You don't want to bench him. You don't want to waive him. The best thing is to let him have an injury.
Yes, Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back today.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh. Came out this morning.
I mean, OJ kept his.
That's true. Yeah, the tone deafness of the Heisman Twitter account. Just look, you don't have to wish ill on someone, but let's just take a pass on that one. Like, let's just avoid that one today. How about it? I mean, I was like, oh, God, like, just no.
I didn't see this.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, they offered best wishes and or condolences or whatever. And I was like, just let it go. Don't have to ill. I'm not saying negative, but just let that one pass.
I watched that documentary again the other day. It came on and
Which
I just
one?
Watched it. The one about one day, the Simpson chase.
Yeah.
Same day that the Rangers celebrated the Stanley Cup, Arnold Palmer played his last round at the U.S. Open. NBA Finals, Game 5.
Game 5, okay.
Knicks, Rockets.
There was something Griffey related to, right?
Ken Griffey hit his 30th home run.
Okay.
In June.
Oh, okay. June 17th, right?
I think that's right.
June 17th. Neil was bartending in Monroe.
Whew. Not a good night.
Dealing with some stuff.
That was a lot of stuff.
Dealing with some stuff. Yeah,
angst is not a new thing.
Yeah.
I watch people cover a lot of the things that are happening in the world today, and they're acting as if this is the first time that we've ever had some conflict. Nah.
Been there before.
We've had some of the same stuff.
Yeah.
As old as time. It was certainly there that night.
You earned your post-bar beer that night.
Oh.
Pop it open and go.
I don't even think they made us clock out. I think they were just like, drink all you want.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't drive. I can remember someone going.
Because it was as much of a social hub as it could be for a Mexican restaurant, too, right?
Well, the restaurant was one thing, but the bar was.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
It was where everybody was. And it was a Friday night. And it was always packed on Friday night. And that Friday night, it was really packed. And then it got contentious. And when NBC kept switching over from the game to the news.
Yeah,
people would lose it. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I mean, you want me to call Tom Brokaw?
Yeah.
And their answer was like, yeah, basically. They were mad. And then you had the people that were drunk that were hoping he would kill himself right there on camera. And it was like, shut up. Just for a minute.
I can't.
Yeah. I mean, I went back in the back a couple of times. Like, hey, y'all are going to have to get some police officers in here. You are. And finally, they were like, yeah, we probably should. Like, yeah, you definitely should.
Did that help?
Not really.
Okay. Fair enough.
Made me feel better.
Just there in case. Okay.
It was wild. That was a wild day. It's one of those deals, not to get on the Simpson thing.
No, that's fine.
It's funny because like Carson was here and explaining to a 17-year-old kid today who O.J. Simpson was in 1994.
I mean, you're doing...
It's impossible.
But, I mean, you're doing Peyton Manning kind of thing. I mean, it's because he's a star everywhere. I mean, it's somebody who's... It's actually not even Peyton. It's bigger than Peyton. I don't know.
That's what I mean. I mean, it
transcended every genre of pop culture.
It's Charles Barkley? I don't even think that's
but
that...
bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah. It's, movies, commercials... Athletics.
I mean, he was. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's everything.
Because he was like, yeah. What was the big deal? And I'm like, well, he's like, he played. He was really good. I was like, yeah, he was really good. He won the Heisman. He was a set records and I was like, but then he was in all these commercials, and that's when you kind of lose kids today because they don't really watch commercials.
But you saw him jumping over the counter for Hertz and the whole deal.
In the Miller Lite commercials.
Yeah.
Which were iconic at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in the Naked Gun movies. And as a star. And then he was a broadcaster. I mean, he was on...
I don't hate The Rock as a comparison.
That's not a bad one.
That's a good comparison. Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't hate that.
And no, it's bigger than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's not even... It's maybe Tom Brady, if he went into a broadcasting career for several years and became this funny figure in movies.
Yeah, because you had to know him beyond sports.
OJ was in the movies.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be a football fan to know. That's the key.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you're a football fan, you know who Peyton Manning is. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a sports fan, you don't really know who Peyton Manning is. Because you're not watching the Manning cast if you're not a sports fan, for God's sake. But you could have been a completely oblivious to the world of sports and you knew who O.J. Simpson was. That I think there's your standard.
It is.
You have to be the person who, when Super Bowl Sunday is on, they're at the movie watching something or they're in their garden. They're not watching the Super Bowl. We have like the 40% of the country that doesn't watch the Super Bowl. If you're not relevant to that 40%, you don't really make the comparison.
Yeah, and The Rock, except The Rock was also better at his sport. I get you get wrestling, but you had to be the athletic icon too.
Yeah. I mean,
Heisman Trophy, Bills rusher. I mean, the whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, he ran for 2,000 yards.
Mm-hmm. It's just nuts.
I mean, it was huge. It was.
Yeah, I don't think people who were not probably any younger than me, I think I'm the absolute youngest that you could be to completely comprehend it. And with today's media consumption being so different too, I don't know if you can really, I think that's lost in time now.
I do
for you
too.
To go exactly what that was like.
I do too.
How big that was. Because, I mean, to your example, we will move on, I promise. But it's one of two things like this that I go down really deep wormholes. Oh, it's this and JonBenet Ramsey. These are my two.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I could go for hours on those two things, Simpson and JonBenet.
Who do you think killed her?
The brother. I don't care what that last documentary said. I'm still completely there.
Yeah.
The mother covered it up to protect one child when she lost the other one. That's what happened.
And had they just let him be the one, he wouldn't have gone to prison.
No, not at the age, no.
I guess it would have haunted him forever, but
it would anyway.
Probably will anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are my two. If you do want a little OJ thing, the agent's book is the one to read, Mark Gilbert.
Yeah.
That's the one if you're going to read one thing where you go, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
What do you think happened to the knife? You think Kardashian threw it in the ocean?
Disposed in some way, right?
That's my guess, is it's in the Pacific Ocean somewhere.
Yeah, that's my guess.
How did he get it?
I don't know.
Because he didn't have a lot of time.
No. I'm not sure it wasn't, not orchestrated or premeditated, but I'm not sure there wasn't some clue that set the course of actions a little earlier than we know at that point, where somebody was kind of on guard that this is, and you're in the area, and I just got a hunch. Like, I don't know.
Do you think he acted alone?
In the actual murders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. You? Do you?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Have some.
You have some theories?
At least one.
Okay. It's probably better for a hand raised guy. Sorry, guys.
No, it's fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating.
But my point was, and last thing, we will move on.
Okay.
Is I'm 11 years old. It's 94.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know who OJ is because I'm a weird sports fan for my age, but or probably normal sports fan at that time for my age. But I'm watching it at my grandparents' house. They know, this is my paternal grandparents who know nothing about sports at all. Like outdoors people, like it's not their thing, and yet captivated. New mm-hmm. OJ, like your point. Yeah, they would have no idea he ran for 2,000 yards as a Buffalo Bill. None.
Right.
They wouldn't know what the Heisman Trophy was. But
knew him from movies and from TV, of course. Yes,
we're watching our stories in the afternoon, and he's in the commercial.
That is the point. It was
Guiding Light goes to commercial, and OJ's on the screen.
It was a different era, obviously, but he was kind of Michael Jackson-ish.
Yeah.
He just was a part of Americana.
Yeah.
Period. Like a big part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, wow.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the domestic abuse and all the stuff, and
where we are in race relations in the country at that point, after a couple years after Rodney King and the whole deal, and it
checked every box.
Yeah, boom.
It checked every box.
Like I said, we were in like fifth grade or sixth grade, and we stopped class to watch the verdict on television because our teachers realized we probably will always try to remember where we were when it happened. We literally stopped class, turned the TVs on, and watched the verdict. The last 15 minutes of court in like fifth grade. And like, do we really understand? No.
No. But yeah, it was one of those moments where the country stopped to watch the verdict. And then the reaction was like, whoa, here we go again. I do remember thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not in a bar today.
Yeah. Off day. Good.
Well, no, I just started.
You're done now.
Yeah, I was actually working at the Oxford Eagle at that point.
Okay. Anyway, our country back then probably needed better help. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? Time is unlimited. How would you use it? Best way to squeeze that special thing in your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is great because you are talking to someone who's just worried about you, not friends and family, preconceived notions, emotions that are secondary. Nope. Just whatever can help you get to where you need to be. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So learn how to make time for what makes you happy. Visit BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/MPW today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MPW.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with the Personalized Retirement Income Plan. Andrew Sego, Sego Wealth Management, specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. We mentioned the show tomorrow night. It'll also be brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. Or if you live in Hernando, Memphis, that area, call the people at Southern 662-429-4429. The College Corner, if you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for double-decker, for both, stop by the College Corner right off of Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons. Leave a tip. That tip's going to do two things. It's going to go to the Grove Collective, and it is also going to get you registered for a Grove Collective Lane Kiffin-signed football. That's through May the 15th. You have to get registered for that. 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear there at the Oxford Commons. Plenty of parking available. Their staff's going to have you in and out and ready for Swayze in no time. Also, check out their two locations in the Jackson area and then collegecornerstore.com. We're also brought to you by Argent Wealth. Call Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services team today. They'll conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Argent Wealth on the Oxford Exxon podcast, Blue Sky Live, and receive 10% off of your first year's fees. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. If you're thinking about a trip that you want to create a lifetime of unique memories, get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He's going to give you options that you're not going to find on your own. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net.
There's a thread on the message board about how to handle TJ McCann's first at bat on Friday. You give him a standing ovation. He led you to a, helped you to a national title.
Yes.
So really good kid. He's been through a lot. All the way around. I mean, this is a freaking no-brainer in all ways. I'd like, I mean, I saw the post on the board. I'd like Ole Miss to play his intro, his walk-up song the first time. Like, I would like to celebrate TJ on Friday and then move on with the weekend.
That's what
I would do.
It's the right thing to do. Yes. Every time Chris Bryant goes back to Wrigley, he gets a standing
ovation. This is a no-brainer.
TJ
McCants made the right decision for TJ McCants, and Ole Miss made the right decision for Ole Miss. This is not drama here.
Well, now I'm gonna say this again. In today's era of transfer portal, you cannot. Well, if you want to be, you can. It just makes you look terrible. If you want to be the ones that celebrate when guys come to you, and then whenever somebody leaves and ends up coming back, they're the enemy. They're evil. Come on, it doesn't work. That's not gonna float long. He was part of a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
You should stand up.
He was here for 3 years.
You should give him a standing ovation, and then treat him with respect. You can still cheer for the guys wearing your laundry.
You're not serving him one up. You're still going to throw sliders that he's going to swing at.
You try to get him out, of course. Yeah. And by this point, you should know how.
Yeah.
But no. And then you hope that out in right field that the students, they can be funny, but you hope that...
Let's be nice.
You should be cognizant of this as somebody that was once one of you in a... contributed greatly to a very positive memory that many of you have.
He hit the home run. He had a huge hit in game two the next day that's probably even bigger in a way because they were going to win game one either way.
Yeah. But. Game two wasn't a freebie. Horton's pretty good.
I mean, look, I'll be honest. When that... Waiting on that replay in the seventh or eighth inning, whenever it was in game two, when it was the right call, but Ole Miss got the benefit of the right call and the interference because Oklahoma had tied it or taken the lead or whatever, and they brought the guy back, and you're going, oh, my God. And then in your head, you're going, they don't win today with Elliott, and who's pitching tomorrow? You really bringing Dylan back on 3-4 days here? Like, you know what I mean? You're starting to do all this in your head and going, hey, this is the moment. Like, you better get it here.
Game three was going to be an offense day.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantees in that deal with pitching on short rest and all that stuff. You might get a great performance. You might not. And it was tight.
Yeah, I mean, he had the hit that got that inning going. He hit the ball right back up the middle off Horton. Nobody had touched him.
No, he was electric.
And then that got him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a great scouting report on the closer. I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head.
I can't either.
Sure,
but he was a big part of it. No, he deserves this. And even if he hadn't done any of that, he deserves a standing ovation.
Well,
I mean, just come on. He was part of a team. You should celebrate him and then move on. Yeah, the cool thing would be to play his walk-up music. Stand up. The catcher walks halfway out to the mound so that he has the moment. Then play baseball. And that's almost certainly what will happen.
I don't know if they're going to play his walk-up song, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but the rest of it should.
Surely.
Almost certainly.
Surely.
I'll be surprised if something along those lines doesn't happen.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be a good ovation. I mean, that's not even, I don't anticipate anything separate. I was looking up his stats real quick just because I know somebody out there is asking, how's he doing? He's having a good year. I'll see. I'll look and click, see how he's doing SEC play. But overall, he's hitting 330. He's got 1,033 OPS right now. 14 doubles, 13 home runs. Wow. He's having even a better year than I thought he was.
Yeah.
45 Ks. He had 46 all of last season. So just heads up, he's still striking out a good bit. He's already walked more this year than he did at any point last year.
He played a huge role in
their series win over Arkansas.
Yeah, I was trying to remember which game it was. I think it was the second game. Arkansas had beat them in the opener because Hagan Smith pitched. And he played a huge role in that one-run game that they got.
Now, SEC play, it's just okay. Hitting 295, and only one of his 13 home runs are in league play.
Yeah.
So, it's where, guys, he's not a different player. Like, the things that you saw every day that he struggled with, he's still struggling in those ways. I mean, it was... It's why it wasn't fair to Ole Miss, and it wasn't fair to the kid earlier in the year when you want to do the running thing of Peyton and TJ stats and like comparing them. And it's like they're in different places. They've always hit non-con pitching. I'm also not going to say anything negative about the fact that they're the same guy they were last year. But
of course,
chill. It is what it is. So yeah, he's fine. But I mean, 325 OBP in conference play. It's not. You know, it's better than the last 2 years because, frankly, he really, really struggled after having a hell of a freshman year. I mean,
good
freshman
SEC
All-American.
Pitchers know how to get him out.
Yeah.
And if they execute their pitches, they do get him out.
What's crazy about it is the inability, and a lot of guys have this, it's not a shot at TJ, the inability to adjust to that adjustment by the other team where you kind of hit a ceiling because as a freshman, nobody knew how to pitch him yet. And I'm just looking at this. In conference play as a freshman, TJ hit 351 with a 962 OPS.
Oh. Then they adjusted, and he really struggled to
his
adjust
OPS
to the adjustment.
In conference play, 962, 594, 468, 723. Average, 351, 196, 154, 295. You wouldn't have thought he never would have kind of found it again after that big freshman year and all that stuff. And, you know, he's kind of had to reevaluate a little bit too because he went to Alabama thinking they were going to let him play infield. He was really wanting to play shortstop, get back in the middle infield, and then it didn't happen there either, and he was back in the outfield again. So it's been a little bit of a weird time for him there. But again, hope he does well in general. Good dude. Caleb Williams, draft tomorrow night. Y'all obviously focus on this. He's going to go number one overall. Feels pretty certain right now, I would assume.
Looks that way.
It does. But... not a flattering story in The Athletic this morning. You can read it there. I think actually Bruce Feldman is who wrote this. Doesn't usually do a lot of pro stuff, but it's draft, it's college, it counts. He was doing kind of a confidential file where they do anonymous stuff from coaches and admins and GMs and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a few quotes that we'll pull from here. I think Caleb has a chance to be very good, but I'm not sure about the wiring. For me, it's how motivated he is to just win. There's some Kyler Murray comparisons from people in this kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy goes, he gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with the lack of self-awareness. I'm kind of above everybody.
Oh.
And then the next one, I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. He's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at and how he's been treated to being the quarterback in the NFL locker room. And then in an interview on the Pablo Torres Finds Out podcast, in which an NFL scout is quoted worrying about Williams crying after a loss last year. The direct quote, raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. It threw up major red flags. I will tell you, he scares the shit out of me and a lot of NFL teams too.
I get it.
NFL doesn't like weird in its quarterback.
Not even a little.
They don't want to have to wonder about that kind of stuff.
Now, he's so physically talented.
Oh, no
doubt.
But it's
just almost impossible not to notice.
But obviously, we're not in the interviews, but if you're the GM, what are you doing? Taking an asset and drafting him?
Well.
You need a quarterback. You got to take one. You taking him?
It's the fascinating part of the league. If you study it, you don't win without a quarterback, with rare exception. With rare exception, you just can't win big without a big-time quarterback. A lot of first-round quarterbacks bust. Your bust rate is pretty high. I don't know how you take Jaden Daniels instead of him. I don't know how you could justify it. I don't know how you could justify taking Drake May before him, because he's so superior physically to both of them.
Sure.
You don't have a quarterback. You just ended the Justin Fields experiment.
Sure.
I mean, I guess you take him, but you take him with this knot in your stomach. Unless I thought I could make a deal where I loaded up on picks and still landed in the top five, and I took one of the other guys. If I felt like I got this, and then I could go take May or Daniels. But from the sounds of it, Daniels is going two, and May's going three. So unless one of those teams are willing to really mortgage the future to move up to one, I'm stuck taking one, and at one, I'm taking him. But I don't love it. And I get what Sammy's saying here. He goes, Ryan Leaf, he's so physically talented. Jamarcus Russell. I mean, the list goes, Jeff George. The list goes on. But you all, here's the part that where the fans do, our media do too. We criticize. If you're in that room and you're the guy that doesn't take him, and then he's Patrick Mahomes, you don't live that down either. And he is gifted, man. Throw the other stuff out for just a minute and just look at the physical quarterback. He's big. He's athletic. He's mobile. He can throw on different levels, platforms. He doesn't have to have his feet set. He can do the different kinds of throws. He sees the field well. He's been able to stay pretty healthy. He checks every physical box with big, bright highlighters. I mean, he looks like a gazillion dollars. Can't ignore that part either. Football's still a physical game.
And what if he's Jamarcus Russell?
And he very well could be. And if he is, he's setting
his... Because nobody looked at Jamarcus and went, I don't know, talent's not there.
No.
That arm, just not quite enough.
But there were people who knew there were red flags. With Jamarcus, it was, can he push away from the table? He's surrounded by some not-so-great people.
If you take Caleb as a GM...
I mean, that was the questions with Jamarcus. Here's the parallels are right here. There were real question marks about Jamarcus. And Jamarcus physically now, huge, and could throw the damn... Dude could throw it 80 yards, could throw it on a line, was accurate. Jamarcus wasn't stupid. It wasn't about his intellect. It was, is he willing to put the work in?
If you're a GM and you take Caleb Williams, he's the one guy you could save your job by missing on because he was the guy.
Sure.
You take Jaden Daniels and miss, and you're in bigger trouble personally.
Now you've overthought it. There's no who's the best quarterback in the draft? It's Caleb Williams.
But Jaden Daniels is who I want in my locker room.
I have no doubt about that. Or Drake May.
Yeah, either way.
Either one.
It just feels like Mace.
I mean, I've talked to Jaden Daniels personally. I mean, Jaden Daniels is an impressive human being.
I'd be more than happy to have the second pick in the draft. You go ahead and do your thing, and I'll just take my guy, and we'll let it sit. And I get if he ends up being Patrick Mahomes, then okay.
Yeah. So you're the Bears GM today. What are you doing?
Oh, you're taking Caleb Williams, but...
Are you desperately trying to trade?
You can't not take a quarterback. You can't be the Patriots and go, I'm going to go down to 17 and take Bo Nix.
What if Washington gives you their second pick, a future one?
But why would
a couple
they?
If maybe they want Caleb.
That bad? That I won't take one of the other ones?
I'm asking.
Well, I mean, sure. If I get in the top three, sure. But beyond that, no. Because why?
Here's my question. If I'm Chicago and I'm calling Washington. Who's got the third pick?
That's what I was trying to remember.
I'm calling those two teams, and neither of them have any interest at all. It terrifies the hell out of me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, you're
Patriots. That's right. I just mentioned them. I knew that.
I mean, I'm calling those two franchises, and if neither one's
even. England goes,
nah, we're good. Ooh, I'm like, oh, God.
Now, New England's obsessed with accumulating picks and not giving picks up.
Right.
That's why I mentioned that earlier. There's a real chance they fall down in the draft, give up the third pick to somebody who wants one of those three quarterbacks, and then they just stockpile some assets and then take Knicks or Penix down line, wherever that is.
Yeah.
There's a good chance of that. Cardinals at 4, Chargers 5, Giants 6, Titans 7, Falcons 8, Bears 9, Jets 10.
Okay.
I think I saw yesterday the Falcons getting popped for tampering. Did you see that?
Yeah. With Cousins.
Yeah.
By the way, the worst kept secret in the world right now is the Jets covet Brock Bowers at 10.
Brock Bowers at 10?
Yep.
Are you not worried about his lack of athleticism that he's shown at the... Sorry, he hasn't shown any lack of athleticism. He hasn't tested.
Yeah. No. Nah.
Some GMs and people were worried. This is overthink season.
Yeah, that's what they do. No.
They were worried that he had not done some of the testing that would show in numbers the elite athleticism necessary at the flex tight end position.
I'd look at his film and figure out we can probably make this work. He looked like a first-round pick when he played on the field.
Austin, I can't decide if you're trolling. He said, side note, it's been 10 years since the movie Draft Day was released. I rewatched it. It's so overhated. It's really good.
It's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's not about like
it's fine.
Enjoyment level. Like for the person who doesn't know crap about the draft and is just watching a movie, okay, it's cool. It's fine.
It's like Moneyball.
Yeah, it's
all right. If you just watch Moneyball and go, I don't really, I'm going to suspend reality for 2 hours.
Or I don't even know reality.
Yeah, then fine, sure. It's a good story.
But if we're going, hey, draft semantics.
Yeah.
Most of those movies have a sports expert on staff who like goes, hey, guys, that's not how this works.
Or threw him out of the room.
Oh, he either was the most incompetent human on earth or the director just fired him from the beginning and went.
But let me explain something. They're like, get out. Just get out. Get the hell out.
This is the script.
We're doing this.
And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm peace.
I don't want my name on this.
Yeah, I'm out. Don't pay me. Nope. I was never here. Okay? You didn't see me.
Did you look at that list on the message board of the 20 movies to make men cry?
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yeah. Field of Dreams, number one. I mean,
look,
pulling at the saccharine heartstrings at the end.
It's the part where he throws with his dad. That gets you.
Yeah, I get it.
The rest of the movie's just... People will fight you about that movie, though.
It's very well received.
I love the people that cried at Rocky IV. That's the one, baby. I laughed. That was awesome.
Actually, Rotten Tomatoes gives Draft Day a 60% positive rating.
Again, if you're not like a sports junkie, it's okay. Whatever. The acting's okay.
It's perfectly pleasant for sports buffs and Costner fans, but overall, Draft Day lives down to its title by relying too heavily on the sort-by-number storytelling that only a statistician could love, is the critic consensus.
All right.
And again, your normal film critic is not going to know the minutia of the NFL draft in any capacity.
Yeah, those people are probably not hunkered down for 3.5-4 hours on Thursday.
Richard Roper actually gave it a B, stating the film is a sentimental, predictable, sometimes implausible, but thoroughly entertaining old-fashioned piece. Okay.
Okay. I can live with that.
I mean...
Jennifer Garner.
Ian Rappaport, who was in the movie, so he's having to kind of like be a little careful. Well, he's being a lot careful here because the thing says he admitted there are plenty of things that aren't exactly the way it goes. Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah, got that.
Yeah.
One team doesn't get their three best players in the draft, you mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Thanks.
So you don't think the Bears have a chance to get Williams, May, and like say Penix tomorrow and then trade two of them to get the receiver that they covet? You don't think that's going to happen? You don't think they walk out of this with Caleb Williams and Malik Nabers, in other words?
I don't like their chances. Apparently, Andrew Brandt, the Green Bay Packers vice president, was really angry about it. He's got like a bunch of quotes in here about how it has no accurate depiction whatsoever to anything pertaining to the NFL or the draft.
Yeah.
Calls it less plausible than Jerry Maguire or Moneyball in its movie rankings from the business of sports standpoints.
I can see that. I mean, I can see getting angry about it. But it was fine. That's all it was.
I need to actually read this story. I'm stopping. We're in April. And it is
Toy Story 4 is a tearjerker. If you don't cry some of the Toy Story movies, you should check your soul.
I'll go there in a second. Riley McAdee, writing for The Ringer, actually apparently did like an actual, like, how the salary structures of all this would work and how screwed up it was. Because I'm reading a note here and going, the Browns burden themselves with an additional $7 million in salary, as stated by a Seahawks executive in the film, to the fictional Mac, a player who would have been lucky to be drafted 15th overall, compounded by the fact the Browns have also deprived the fictional Callahan of $7 million in annual salary that he, not Mac, should have been making. And went through the logistics and went, money-wise, that makes no sense. That's not it. Well, look, here's the thing about Toy Story. And this is where we are today, guys. Here's the thing about Toy Story. It's Toy Story 2 is inarguably the worst one, and it's still one of the 10 to 12 best animated films ever.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember Toy Story 2.
We meet Jesse and the inspector and the Alice toy barn.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all
yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Where they repaint him and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's the worst one.
Yeah.
3 and 4 are better, and 1, obviously.
Yeah.
And yet, it still is really, really good. Holds up.
4, where they're going down the incinerator?
I think that's 4. 3 and 4 get cloudy for me.
Okay.
Because we've all gotten older now. I mean, when 3 came out, and he's kind of leaving them behind and going all, like, the end of 3 is where you go, whoa.
Yeah. It's deep.
I mean, lesser of men. It's got you a little bit there. Austin said Cars makes him cry because he watched it with his grandpa, and every time it reminded me of him. I get it. I mean, everybody has that kind of movie.
I understand.
Yes, Tyler Barron is back in the portal.
Awesome.
Missed promises and whatnot. I'll get to that in a second.
There's no red flags there, boys.
Stop. I got to move on. We'll get to that in a minute. First, Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. 7 different flavors available for you. Actually, I'm going to be 8 now. The Soy ginger, their most recent offerings, great with hibachi dishes, proteins, vegetables, rice, and much more. Give it a shot. Their New Orleans-style barbecue is their number one seller. It's one of my favorites as well, as is the signature. It's a great all-purpose one. It's great for throwing on salads at lunches, quick protein snacks, or dinner when we got so much going on there with Prime Shrimp. We're going to help you out. We're going to make it a little cheaper for you. Going to give you code RG. You buy 5 pouches or more. Maybe you're sampling one of everything. You're getting a lot of your favorites. Either way, 25% off. Again, with code RG at primeshrimp.com.
Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa, is the perfect place to plan your company dinner, your festive party events. Also a great place to stop if you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for double-decker. Stop by Opa. Great food, craft libations as well. 601-421-7147 for catering or booking information. We're brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. It's always free for the candidate. Pardon me. If you're on the job hunt, if your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, they can really help you. Keep in mind that the payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that Service Specialist sends. You got nothing to lose. Give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call. 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistltd.com. Get the beautiful, healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. So schedule your appointment today and take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Andy Ludeke can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses, uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy and put your life in your own hands. It's 100% free. You got nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901.
Podcast has also brought to you by Factor. I told you about them starting back yesterday. It is a way to eat stress-free this spring with their delicious ready-to-eat meals, fresh, never-frozen meals, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, and Veggie. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today. Fuel up for your springtime goals. It's no fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. It's tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And it's your solution to fast premium meals without the need for cooking. They're also selling Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/MPW50. Use code MPW50 to get 50% off your first blocks plus 20% off your next box. That code MPW50, factormeals.com/MPW50 to get 50% off first one, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Yeah, Tyler Barron back in the portal. If you remember, Tyler Barron was at the University of Tennessee. He got into the portal. He committed to Ole Miss.
He did.
He
came to Oxford.
Came to town. He pretty sure found a place to live.
Yeah.
He did.
He did.
He did. He found a place to live.
Yeah.
And then he didn't move in. And then he got back in the portal or whatever happened. I don't know. He ended up at Louisville.
Correct.
Louisville crowed about it on social media. They used a dog to make fun of Juice for some reason during the course of their social media push.
That pissed Juice off, by the way.
You think so?
I heard about it. Yeah.
Juice not happy.
That's what I've heard.
Did they use a golden retriever? Or was it things, also a lab?
These are things I don't really remember.
Or was it an American lab, not a British lab? Because Juice is a British lab. He's an English lab.
He is.
He is.
Yes.
They're a little more narrow, not as blockheaded as your two buddies downstairs.
Yeah.
Yours are built for comfort more than speed, it seems.
It's true. Very true. Especially Gus.
He doesn't even like move when I come downstairs anymore. Like he used to like at least kind of get the head up or like walk over. Now you got to come to him. He's basically a cat at this point.
He's older. He greets me every morning still.
Does he?
He does.
Gets up and waddles in.
He does. And he makes some noise.
Okay.
Tells me hello.
They knock things over with their tail and their back end, sways left to right.
It has happened.
Yeah.
They've knocked over a wine glass before.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Was that good?
It did not go over well.
Okay. They get yelled at.
I got yelled at.
Oh, you got yelled at. It was your fault.
It was my fault for leaving the wine glass in the path of a tail.
Okay. So Barron ends up at Louisville, and look, I'm not privy to their collective situation or anything else, but...
But I think we can put two and two together and come close to four here.
Some lack of promises fulfilled seems to be the way that this is working. And yet, now looking for a...
It's a red flag.
A new home.
If you need him, maybe you take him. You know, look, if you take him and then it ends up sort of being a chemistry issue, you can't say you didn't see it coming, right? I mean, so it's one of those deals. This is where we are with this stuff now. If he comes and he ends up being a great player, awesome. If he comes and he doesn't help you much and he ends up being a clubhouse cancer, if you will, forgive me for not going, well, I mean, God, did you not kind of...
There was some signs.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, unlike some of them where, and, you know, I don't know this kid personally, but like a lot of them, like Kiffin brought in Trey Harris and was like, hey, that dude's really bought in. Like, this is cool. This is going to be something. He talked about it all the time. Yeah. Here you go. We're going to bring in a mercenary for 6 months and maybe he really helps on the football field. Okay.
Okay.
Worth it, not worth it. Cool.
Yeah. It's really that simple. Decisions that you have to make. Is it worth the risk? I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on the health of Princely Amon Mielen. I've heard Barron has had to have a similar surgery, by the way.
Some sort of labrum something.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to his medical records. I don't know. Look, man, when you make these decisions on nothing but money, which is what he did, sometimes those are going to come back to haunt you.
Sure.
You know?
But somebody's going to take Tyler Barron.
Sure.
Someone's going to go, oh, yeah.
I mean, I think. There's a lot of cats in the portal right now that are not landing. I've got a couple of mailbag questions about this, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think. Or maybe it was me and Tyler, or maybe it was both. But look, that you're it's different than when you take a guy in December and January, when you take a guy in late April. You better know in late April that that guy's not going to create problems. Because if he comes in and creates problems in late April, you might not have a lot of time to fix it.
No, he's got to be turnkey.
That's what I think,
too. Ready to go.
Ready to go. Good dude. Checks the boxes. Like Henry Parrish walking back in the room. There are people that know him.
Yeah.
Been here before.
He have the same locker.
It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good.
Knows the system. Day one.
I mean, is there a scenario where he doesn't really help you? Sure. Is there a scenario where he doesn't hurt, where he hurts you? Probably not.
No.
No, you're probably good.
Yeah, there's zero acclimation.
Yeah. Well, and he's not going to be a problem.
No, no, no.
If he ends up being your feature back, great. If he doesn't, it's okay.
Yeah.
Not a lot of not
he's
a lot
handled
of risk.
3 years of like medium level carries. That'd be all right.
Yeah. And he's never been a bad dude who causes problems inside a locker room.
So
he left to go back to Miami because he thought, A, he was home.
Kevin.
And Kevin Smith. And B, thought he'd, hey, I'll have a bigger role.
And he didn't.
And he kind of didn't.
Yeah.
But he was fine. He was a good player there. He'll be a good player here. I mean, people that are like, he's going to be a star. Well, there's really no sign that he's going to be. But he's going to be, you kind of know what you're getting. Here, you don't really know what you're getting. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go take him.
No, maybe you need him.
But the diehard portal guy, I love the portal people. They are completely ignoring this part of it. No, they're warning signs.
Football in 2022 here can happen. Arkansas basketball can happen. Frankly, Ole Miss baseball to some extent this year can
happen. Of course. For people that look around and go, this can't happen. It won't happen here. You're okay.
Yeah. Enjoy your clouds. We'll see you down the road.
We'll see you down the road at some point. Because at some point, if you go heavy portal, heavy portal, heavy portal, heavy portal, at some point it's going to burn you. And everybody knows it. Lane Kiffin will tell you that. That's why he says all the time it's a bad system.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that he says that.
The Heisman Trust called Bush getting his trophy back happening now because of, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape. Well, you can say that again, basically meaning there are no rules and what he did we don't really care about anymore. And we caught a shit ton of political pressure and we caved to it finally because they have and they're being stupid.
Yeah.
Bush taking the high road. Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization. Reggie just kept that bad boy between the lines this morning.
I'm not surprised. I
like Reggie.
I covered Reggie some when he was with the Saints, and he's a good dude.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate Paul Tagliavu rigging the draft. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, I enjoyed Reggie for the time he was there. Playoff game, running out, carrying the bat. I mean, we had a big time.
He was a really good player.
He didn't suck.
Not sure you win a Super Bowl without him.
Probably not, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, Reggie Bush and Jeremy Shockey. And
they were good.
Some dudes.
Reggie Bush was good. I mean, just keeping it real. I mean, he was.
He was damn good as a rookie in that 06 team.
Real good. Had a run in Chicago that day, too.
My last glimmering of hope was about that run right there. You went, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
No. Got throttled by Rex Grossman.
Fred Thomas had a bad day.
Fred had some bad days.
Stand-up dude, though, in the locker room after that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Took it and
answered every question.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to kill us. But didn't. Part of the gig. It is. It's part of the gig.
Yeah.
You want a warning sign? Guy won't talk to the media after a bad game.
Yeah.
There's your warning sign. Red flag. Phew, whipping in the wind. Anthony Davis the other night. Red flag.
We see it in golf a lot because, like, you know, Tiger comes in no matter what and mm-hmm. answers the questions. Mm-hmm. He was hurting the other day, shot 80, whatever, in Augusta and was like, oh, whatever. And he mm-hmm. comes in and just talks through it. And you got some dudes who they duck out and
it's
whatever.
The Caleb Williams red flag.
Uh huh.
Big one. Bright, shining red flag.
Mm hmm. You're not just talking to the media as the NFL quarterback. You're the leader of the team, and you're giving the message.
You're the face of the franchise.
Yeah, it's you.
Own it. And if you can't own it, it's a problem.
Here's the crown.
Because you're going to Chicago. There's going to be media.
Third biggest media market in the country.
There's going to be media all the time. That's why I've said this so many times. I have so much respect for Bo Wallace. In the middle of that season, when he didn't really say what they said he said, and they turned it into a big old headline and a big thing, and he had to deal with it, he still showed up. Basically admitted he didn't want to be there and looked at us like, I know who's who. But he showed up. Why? Because he was the face of Ole Miss football. That was his job. Jackson Dart. Through all the stuff, and look, privately, Jackson Dart was pissed off about some of the stuff that happened.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's be real. Jackson Dart was pissed off that they brought in Spencer Sanders. Didn't say it publicly. Nope. He was the face and was smart enough to know it.
Down, I'm going to win the job, and then we'll just move on.
Diplomatic, said all those things, but he was pissed. Make no mistake, he was pissed, and there were people around him who were really pissed. And yet, they kept it cool. That position was Drew Brees, always. Win or lose, Drew Brees was at the podium, taking the questions.
Deflecting the bullets.
Always. Always. Every time. Because you miss it one time, and that's the story. It was Eli Manning. Eli Manning with the New York media. Mm-hmm. And the New York media ate him alive sometimes, and yet he was always at his locker.
Yeah.
Always at his locker. And at the end, when they finally benched him, and he cried and all this, it got emotional, they didn't rip him. No. Nope, they tributed him. It is what it is, man. I mean, the media, and you're talking to someone that doesn't like media, they're human. It's not a machine. They have biases and that kind of thing. And I don't know if that's the part. If you go back to the Caleb Williams thing, that's the part to me. If I'm the Bears GM, and I can't even think of his name right now. If I'm the Ryan Pace, I think. If I'm the Bears GM.
I do think it's Ryan Pace, yeah.
If I'm the Bears GM, that's what scares the hell out of me. Because they're going to come after him. They just are. It's a lot of media, a lot of radio, and sports radio in Chicago is still really big. Really big. There's a lot of it. They're going to come after you. They're going to be critical. Can you handle it? I think there's some indications that he can't. And then what? Now it's a distraction in the locker room because the other guys are getting asked about his meltdown. And they're getting pissed off that they're having to answer this. Can you deflect? Can you be the guy that absorbs the heat?
Because for all of his lack of on-field stuff, Justin Fields has been pretty good in that area.
Yeah.
Gotten popped.
He handled media well.
Yeah.
He couldn't make plays.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, he handled that part pretty well.
I'm scary day for him, but I still think it's what's going to happen. He's going to take Williams number one overall. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Two packages, the Ignite, the Blaze. That's their 1 gig option, fastest option available. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, wireless mesh extender. Call the office for details and much more. So again, that's NESPARC.com or 662-238-3159.
Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails. There's a lot offered at Southern Traditions. Horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons to advanced to competing in nationally recognized competitions. It's also a great venue for events, corporate outings, that kind of thing. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag to you later today at rebelgrove.com. It's presented by Art Hayes, Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's International Realty to work for you as a licensed agent with Sotheby's and a supporter of all things Ole Miss. Art can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you. Seriously. So call and ask him how. 612-805-5929 or email him at arthur.hayes@lakesmn.com.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area in the upper med scene. If your prescription is the same day each month, take care of you. Also, easy to transfer your medications. You make one phone call, they take care of the rest. Again, that is 662-236-2222. Again, on the square in Holly Springs with Tyson Drugs. So I'll get to the we got Jeffrey tomorrow, and then we'll have a little more of a conversation after we let go of him. I'll get to some of the Derek Dooley Group of Five stuff tomorrow because I don't find that as interesting. Texas A&M, close here. They lay off a lot of people yesterday inside their athletic department. Trev Alberts, their new athletic director, coming in from Nebraska, replacing Ross Bjork, who's now at Ohio State. And this is a program that's, what, top three nationally in revenue? I mean, something
I think so.
I mean, it's a, it's a lot of money, whatever it is, Texas, Texas A&M, whoever else is up there at that point, Michigan, Ohio State, I don't know. But somewhere in that realm. And it's startling in a number of different ways here. Yep. At least a dozen staffers, including high-level administrators, Executive Deputy AD Justin Moore, Deputy AD for External Relations and Business Development Chris Park, Deputy AD for Administration and Leadership, Senior Women's Administrator Kristen Brown, Associate AD for Branding, Creative and Communications Tyler Pigg, Aggies AD Alberts explains the downsizing is, quote, reorganization related to existing and emerging threats to our business model, and adds, quote, we are on the cusp of unprecedented change in the world of college athletics. As a department, we have to adapt and become more efficient and effective so we are the best positioned for the changes to come. However, that will not change as this. Student athletes are a priority, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
These changes are difficult, and let me state emphatically, these people have done nothing wrong. They are good, hardworking members of the Agri family, and their service is greatly appreciated. I can assure you this was not personal. It was a business decision and a very difficult one at that.
All right. I'm going to hope that that's all just lip service for him wanting to bring in his own people. That's what I hope.
You hope those jobs are filled by other people.
I'm hoping that he's lying.
Yeah.
I fear that he's not. And the reason is, and I get why, if you're just in this from a pure, I want my team to win standpoint, you don't care. But you and I have worked in these fields. We know people. These are people that had their lives uprooted yesterday.
And they people who aren't making $1.2 million.
No. No. And now they have 5 weeks to find employment. They have husbands and wives and children. They had stuff. This was an emotional day for a lot of people. And this, I guarantee you, sent shockwaves through athletic departments all over the country. Because if this is what the restructuring is going to look like, that you're preparing for this model where you suddenly the revenues that helped pay for staffers and things of that nature are going to the student athletes. I don't know, man. you and I had this conversation a little bit before we got started. I'm trying not to be the person who's just so turned off by this. I'm trying really hard.
Well, look.
Right now I'm losing the battle, but I'm
because people are losing their job to find every extra cent for players. If Trev's telling the truth.
If he's again, I hope he's lying. But if he's telling the truth, I mean, okay. But you, I mean, hey, listen.
And this isn't Ole Miss. Maybe every, or at least more than half, at least, basketball season. Let's even take football out of it, because football is this behemoth that we can't seem to feed the monster enough.
Yeah.
But basketball's basketball.
Yeah.
13 players, 15 players, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At most, the majority, SEC schools next year, at least 10 players on those teams will make more money annually in a season than all but two members of ever of their respective SEC admin teams from employees.
Yeah.
They won't make as much as the athletic director, and they won't make as much as probably the number one deputy.
Okay.
Everyone else in the athletics building at these respective institutions will make less than at least 10 basketball players. So when you start cutting places.
Yeah.
And now look, is there admin bloat at universities and SEC? 100%.
But hey, let me tell you where else there's bloat.
Everywhere.
Okay? There's a lot of bloat in the football building. And I'm not talking about people.
No, I know.
I'm talking about stuff.
Yeah, money spent.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the NFL doesn't spend like this. That's all. You know, and you have some of these other programs where there's a lot of... again, we haven't covered that ground yet. How do we... If Jackson Dart makes... $500,000 in revenue sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize to Jackson and his family for using him as an example. It's what came to mind.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have to give that $500,000 to whatever? To women's sports that don't make any revenue? Do you? I think the answer is yes. And that's where I come in and go, you know what? This is where I lose my sympathy, right here. They go, well, they deserve to get paid. They are getting paid. They're going to college for free. Find the guy in Georgia who's sending his son or daughter to Ole Miss. Tell him it's free. All of a sudden, just go, hey, by the way, your kid gets to go for free. Oh, whoa. Wow. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids are on scholarship at another SEC school. And Chase, I'm not going to show you my bank account, but I could. I could show you where money comes out.
Yeah, sure.
If you, hey, the rest of this is free. Awesome. Sign me up. I would view it as getting paid. So, and I have the same thought for football players, by the way, for people that do this deal. Well, not all of them are going to go to the NFL. They deserve to get paid. They're going to college for free. That is payment. I'm not saying there shouldn't be more payment, but don't act like that's not a tangible thing. And if it's, well, they're not going to college for degrees, well, then maybe they don't need to go to college. That's all I'm saying. That's not even the old man in me. It's just not. That maybe you don't need to go to college. Well, it's the only way they can go. No, it's not. You figure it out. Go play in the XFL or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it is an institution of higher learning. And if you're there, you're there at least at surface level to also get an education, to get a degree. If you go, well, the degree is meaningless. Okay, well, then let's have a completely different conversation about all of it then. I mean, if your kid's in college, take the athletes out of it. If your kid's in college and at the end of it, you're like, well, this degree is meaningless. Well, then you wasted some time and money.
Mm-hmm.
You wasted some resources. If that's how you view it. So you're only there for the football. Then why not just go someplace that's only football?
Mm-hmm.
Because you either have the skill set to play football or you don't. You'd be better off if you don't want to go to college, if academics mean nothing to you, if a degree means nothing to you, and you have some, you'd be better off going to some academy somewhere and just training. That's it. But I mean, this should send shockwaves.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see if a second school jumps in. That will tell us. Yeah, the next week or two.
And look, if in June we suddenly see Trev Alberts hiring all these people that work for him at Nebraska, and then we'll go, oh well, whatever.
Yeah.
But what if he's telling the truth?
Yeah.
And I can't sit here and go, he's lying.
I don't know.
I don't know. What if he's telling the truth? I mean, I don't think Trev Alberts has a reputation for being a compulsive liar.
No.
And he didn't. I mean, and to more credit to him, he didn't have to say what he said yesterday. He could just fire the people.
Yeah.
Hey, you're paid through May the 31st. Peace.
And said he came out and went, hey, look,
here's the deal.
Yeah.
And so if he's telling the truth, and I think it's reasonable to assume that he is, this is probably. I guarantee you, there are people at the other 15 SEC schools today that are whispering around the proverbial water cooler.
You're going, hey,
what's going to happen here?
Yeah. If you're a casual sports fan, you want to find one NBA series, I think Dallas and the Clippers might be the one you pick. Dallas 96-93 last night in L.A. to even that up. Headed to the American Airlines Center now for game 3. Tied 1-1. Minnesota looked really good the first two games. They take the first two from the Phoenix Suns to go up 2-0. Anthony Edwards is going to be pretty good in this league, I think. And then Indiana, 125-108 in Milwaukee last night. Bucks still without Giannis. And it heads now to Indy.
Pacers are a good team. They're not going to roll over to a Giannis-less Bucks. Hell, they might win the series.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dallas Clippers. It's got 7 games written all over it.
Yeah, it does. Tonight, Miami and Boston, 1-0-1. Boston up 1-0, still there at the Garden.
Whatever. Miami can't beat Boston.
They're not losing.
And especially if Butler's limited, they can't even compete.
And then game 2, is it still Chesapeake Energy? Is that correct? In Oklahoma City?
Paycom Center.
Paycom. Okay. What is Paycom?
Just pick up.
So it's not working as a stadium sponsor because Mr. McGrady cannot tell me what that company does right now off the top of his head.
Paycom is online payroll services, HR payroll software.
That makes sense. Okay. Thunder 1-0, Pelicans 0-1 here, game 2 tonight in Oklahoma City.
Both teams will shoot it a lot better tonight.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder youth showed in game 1 they'll be more comfortable in game 2, and then I think it's realistic. It's unrealistic to expect that New Orleans will go 1-for-15 on corner threes a second night in a row. That doesn't happen in the NBA.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll wrap there again. Jeffrey in the morning. We'll have a little conversation when we get done with him as well. He's got an AD search going on. Got NBA playoffs. A lot of stuff going on with Mr. Wright. We will discuss in the morning. So, RebelGrove.com in the meantime. Rebels and Tide tomorrow, 6:30 Thursday, 6:30 Friday, 2 o'clock there on Saturday afternoon, double-decker weekend and more. So until next time, take care.